Hello, and thanks for joining us on this week's podcast, Your Expert Advantage, a higher level of management consulting. This podcast is produced by the Canadian Association of Management Consultants, CMC Canada. I'm James Grieve, a certified management consultant for CMC out of British Columbia and a member of Certified Management Consultants of Canada. Our goal is to provide management consultants with great thought leadership, case studies, and actionable info in a conversational format that you'll be able to take back to your workplace, the office, and implement immediately and share with your colleagues. One of the great things about this podcast is that we learn some great stories from those who have earned their Certified Management Consultant designation, and they can show you the value of getting your CMC, the profession's only international certification, recognized in over 40 countries. In this episode, we're focused on learning more about change management and the benefits of a readiness mindset. Also, we'll explore how management consultants can support their clients in creating a positive change readiness mindset and what that looks like from concept to implementation. Our guest today is Dr. Dawn Marie Turner. She's an international organizational change consultant, speaker, certified brain-based coach, and the creator of the readiness mindset. She is the author of Launch, Lead, Live, the Executive's Guide to Preventing Resistance and Succeeding with Organizational Change. She's the president of Turner Change Management, a Victoria-based consulting firm. For over 20 years, she has helped hundreds of leaders and their employees worldwide eliminate resistance to change, build readiness, and create healthy and sustainable organizations through change. Her program, Living and Leading Change, shows people how to eliminate resistance, tap into their innate human ability for change, and thrive because of change. Her work has been published in International Journal of Knowledge, Culture and Change Management, Attorney at Law Magazine, Web Mobile-Based Applications for Healthcare Management, and the International Journal of Quality and Services Sciences. What you may not know about her is she's checked a live polar bear's teeth while living in northern Manitoba. Welcome, Dawn Marie, to the program.
Thanks, James. I'm really delighted to be here.
Okay, so in this session, Dr. Turner will introduce you to the readiness mindset. She will also share her work and over the past 20 years on the development of the readiness mindset. You will discover how a readiness mindset breaks the cycle of resistance and allows you to tap into the brain's innate curiosity and desire for learning to enable people to move toward change without resistance. So Dawn Marie, lots of great experience here, lots of great work, and let's get right into it here today. So tell me a little bit about your practice and how you got into organizational change in the first place.
Yeah, thanks, James. First of all, I'm delighted. Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here. I started my career in healthcare, actually, and started a long time ago as a nurse, and then gradually moved into community development and health promotion, where I was actively involved in helping people adopt healthier lifestyles and new behaviors, so all around behavioral change. Got hired by a large multinational consulting company, and that started the shift that I made into organizational change. I was seeing over and over again how companies were spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on changes that weren't working, that were creating cynical employees. And I just knew there was a better way to do it. And so started my company in 2009. And the rest, they say, is history.
Well, certainly, you know, thank you for that. And certainly in healthcare, if one thing is constant, there is change, particularly, you know, coming through a pandemic now. And I think it's very interesting as well that, you know, you didn't start as a practitioner in change. You actually saw it from the level of employee coming through as you worked in healthcare and went from there. So it provided you with a unique perspective that you've actually walked in the shoes of those people. Is that correct? And how's that helped you in working with your clients?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think one of the things that I saw when I started in the area of organizational change is people were coming at it from the organizational perspective, which is all important, the organization shifts. But at the ground level, every organizational change is really about an individual self change. So your individual employees need to shift their activities, their behaviors, their thinking. All of those things happen at an individual level. And so what I was able to do, because I'd come from that background, from the individual level, I'm able to help leaders understand what happens to all of us as human beings when we're confronted and faced with something that's new and different. And that's all a change is. A change is anything that is outside of our normal routine. It could be as simple as somebody being in your parking space when we used to roll up to an office, or it can be a huge transformational change in your life or in your organization. And so once we begin to understand what happens at the person level, at for us as individuals, then we can begin to look at, okay, so how does that manifest itself organizationally, collectively in the groups and the relationships that we have? And then you're able to affect change differently in the organization.
No, that's fantastic. And one thing that, you know, when you're speaking of this there, and thank you for the, you know, the great explanation of this, is that I can't help but think it's very dynamic, because change means different things to different people. Some people may be very accepting of a change, or just roll with it, for lack of a better term. You know, you use the example of a parking stall, where other people, you know, get pretty excited about these things. And when you look at teams, and then teams within departments in organizations, this can gain complexity and become very complicated very quickly. So further shows the need for methods and ways to sustain change. So really looking forward to getting into this a little bit further.
I was just going to say that, yes, we all have, you know, we all bring different experiences to change, and we all see the world in slightly different ways. But the interesting thing is, because all of us have human brains, there is some predictability to the way people are going to react and interact with change. So beginning to understand that predictability helps leaders engage more consistently.
Got it. Okay. And, you know, in doing the pre-reading and preparation for the podcast, in your book and in white papers I read, you talk about healthy and sustainable organizational change. So maybe for the benefit of our listeners here, what do you mean by healthy organizational change? And perhaps, you know, share with us why this matters.
Yeah, I used to talk about successful organizational change. Early in my career, I talked about the idea of having successful organizational change. But what I quickly realized was that was meant something different to me, given my healthcare background, than it did for leaders. For many leaders, successful organizational change just meant getting something implemented. And for me, healthy organizational change, and where I really want leaders to focus, is when you've got healthy organizational change, you have the changes that you're making in your organization make the organization stronger, increase its capability to handle new changes, allow the employees to feel more resilient and more in control of their environment and their growth. So when I talk about organizational change, there are really some key healthy organizational change. There are really some key characteristics that we're looking for. One is that the need for the change is well understood, and people have accepted and are willing to move forward with the change. There's high levels of readiness for the change in the environment. There's enough stress to create the momentum for change, but not so much that people are feeling distress, that they're overwhelmed or overloaded with the amount of change that's going on. And that every change that they make in the organization sets the employees and the organization to better handle the next change that is going to come. And we know whatever amount of change is happening in organizations now, it's not going to be the last. It's ongoing. We always need to be responding, moving, changing, doing things differently in order to be strong and capable. And so when I talk about healthy change, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about changes that create a stronger, more prosperous, more resilient organization and employees that are set up to handle future changes. And of course, the sustainability is that you're not redoing changes over and over again because those activities and behaviors didn't stick. And so that's really draining for an organization. And unfortunately, it happens far too often where, you know, you'll get your long-term employees that go, done that, been there, didn't work the last time. And so what we want to focus on is creating that healthier, stronger organization because of change and ensure that those new activities and behaviors are sustainable and they build to the next level or to the next place the organization needs to go.
No, those are fantastic points. And one of the things, you know, as you're speaking there and it caught my attention is that organizations come in all shapes and sizes and different industries, of course. So without getting into detail with any particular industry here, correct me if I'm wrong, but what you're saying, it's you're providing a competency framework for people to follow that regardless of the type of change or the size of organization, the mindset that you're creating, this readiness mindset, it's applicable to people at various levels of the organization, leadership, and within different organizations and industries. Is that a correct summarization of that, Dawn-Marie, or you want to go a little bit further into that?
Oh, absolutely. I think adopting and being able to use a readiness mindset is for everyone in the organization and for any organization, regardless of how big or small the organization is. What the readiness mindset does is allow you to tap into our natural human curiosity, our natural ability to learn and move towards something new and different. Yeah, it doesn't matter what size. We've worked with organizations that are as small as about 25 people to as large as of about 12,000 people.
Wow. Wow. Now, when you're dealing with all these different sizes of organizations, obviously people at different levels, formal, informal leaders, that type of thing. What is the most common challenge or barrier that leaders struggle with when it comes to change?
Well, I think that's an interesting question because it depends on who you ask. So the most common challenge or barrier that I get asked about or that a leader is calling me in about is resistance to change. That is probably the most common, from their perspective, the most common barrier that they're dealing with. Most leaders, and even some of the research out there says, you know, resistance to change is the number one barrier for organizations. If you were to ask me what the number one challenge is, I would say it's the fact that leaders are primarily working with a resistant mindset, and as a result, they're creating the resistance that they then will need to manage and try and work through with their organization so that the resistance mindset has become so embedded into the vocabulary, into the way people are thinking and engaging with change, that we're very often creating resistance that we then that leaders then need to manage.
Very interesting. So you could see how change becomes part of the culture, either in a positive way or potentially a negative way. So you have this, you know, on the one side, you know, this resistance mindset that's brought in from, you know, throughout the organization, perhaps through leadership on down, and then they are faced with the realities of this once, you know, if that's the mindset they have. Or I guess they could have a latent mindset or as you mentioned, a readiness mindset on that. So maybe if you could identify some of the characteristics of a resistance mindset, and then we'll transition into explaining the readiness mindset. So, you know, we're all familiar with the term resistance, but what does it mean in the context of change management or within an organization to be resistant to change?
Couple of things. One, the resistant mindset is pervasive in our culture. As I said, if I talk to leaders, the number one question that I am guaranteed to be asked is, how do we deal with the resistance to change? Every leader asks me that question. And my response is always, you don't. We don't need to deal with the resistance. I advocated in my book for leaders to stop managing resistance to change. And why did I do that? The reason I did is because fundamentally, people, you and I, human beings, don't resist change. There's no psychological evidence that we resist change. If we did, it would be rare. And change, as we know, is not rare. The idea that we do resist change, though, has, because it's become so embedded, becomes a limiting belief that actually begins to create resistance. Our brain tricks us when you're working with a resistant mindset into seeing resistance where there isn't any. And let me give you an example. If you're a leader, you've just launched a new change, you've spent months thinking about the solution. Maybe it's a solution even to a problem that your employees have been complaining about. You announce the change, you announce the solution, whatever that is, and your employees start questioning the solution. They start challenging why that solution, why not this? They challenge the need for it. Because we're working in a resistant mindset, a couple of things kick in. First of all, our negativity bias kicks in, and we hear all of that feedback as negative and challenging. And because we're working with this resistant belief, people resist change, our brain connects those two dots. Negative reaction means resistant to change. We tap into our innate bias called confirmatory bias. So now we've put these three dots together, negative, what we've interpreted as a negative reaction. Our belief that people resist change confirms that, there we go, this is the evidence that people are resistant to change. And that starts the cycle of pushing harder or taking other actions that are unproductive and unhelpful. The flip of that, and what we advocate and show leaders how to do, is to adopt a readiness mindset. And so what we do is cut that cycle. As soon as you adopt a readiness mindset, you're able to break that loop that keeps you engaged and working with resistance and step away from it. So what we do with leaders for the readiness mindset is we show them how to reinterpret and hear what their feedback is, what that feedback means, in a way that doesn't define it as resistance. And to recognize the difference of reaction. People will react to change, but a reaction to something that's new and different doesn't mean that they are resistant to change. And there's lots of evidence for that and lots of research that supports that.
Very interesting. So just, you know, to summarize here, you know, from what you're saying, you know, if I'm correct in my summary, is there's this perceived resistance to change, which actually is a reaction to the change, but that reaction can be somewhat tailored or altered with a readiness mindset. So is that a fair estimation or summary of what you were saying there?
Not quite. So okay. What happens if you're working with, we all react to change. That's normal. There's a normal reaction for all of us for change. We all have that response. We as human beings are hardwired for predictability and consistency. So anything that triggers us to be outside of what we expect to happen, or the consistency that we're used to, that predictability, has the potential for raising a stress response. That's what we would call a flight, fight or freeze response, that stress response. And so that's a normal reaction that you should expect. When you introduce something different to somebody, you should expect that reaction. That would be normal to hear that. Now, the degree of how that reaction translates and what it looks like will vary among different people. But the reaction is always there. One of the things we do when we're working with the employees is we get the employees to examine what is their reaction and their response, so they can then learn how to manage their own reactions for it and develop their resilience and their own personal readiness for change. But that reaction is normal. It is just a normal, it's just a reaction. What happens if you're working with a resistant mindset is you label what is a normal reaction to change as resistant, and then you start that toxic cycle of resistance to change and start creating actions that are not helpful or productive to moving your organization in the direction that you want to go.
Now, this is really good. So there's a large portion or a big piece of this, which is self-awareness. Is that correct?
It's self-awareness for us in terms of being aware of our own reactions, but it's a larger sense of capturing and shifting, which is why we call it the readiness mindset. It's about shifting our mindset, our underlying belief systems about change. So leaders with a readiness mindset work under the belief that when people are prepared, when they believe change is needed, when they feel capable and competent to move in the direction that's being expected of them, and when they believe and feel supported by their organization, they will move toward change. So it shifts the responsibility from pushing through resistance to preparing and enabling people to move toward what you're expecting them to do.
Great. So this is fantastic. One of the things I was going to ask you, is there any things we could be, you know, without having, for those who are listening who aren't as familiar with the readiness mindset, but is there a few commonalities of things you hear that, that's a red flag or a canary in the coal mine of a resistant mindset, certain phrases or situations or something you could share when, if someone were to hear this or have heard themselves say this in the past, this may be an indicator that they have a resistance to change or a resistance mindset.
So based on my experience, most people are working with a resistant mindset, and there's certainly a quick test, because I meet leaders when I first introduce that go, oh yeah, we do that, we've got this, but here's a quick check to see if you're working with a resistant mindset or a readiness mindset. And it takes some work to learn how to use a readiness mindset, because it is a shift that people are working with. But here's a quick test. Just think over the last week, how many times when you've talked or raised the issue of a change, that you've also talked or raised the issue of resistance to change. So if you have said it or thought it about how someone was resistant to change, or that you were working with someone and used the term, he's just resistant to change, I'm just resistant, then you're working with a resistant mindset. When one of the first things that we teach leaders to do is to eliminate resistance to change from their vocabulary, so that they are not defining a person or a group of people as resistant to change. But if you use that term at all, you know, and when I talk to leaders, they can all think of many within the last 24 hours where they identified an employee, a colleague, themselves, or someone else as, well, I'm just resistant to change, or they're resistant to change.
Okay, that's great. And you can see how this would be very powerful as people are, you know, making this shift from resistance to readiness, and how that can just accelerate and propel things like a flywheel through an organization and make that work. Is it a time-bound thing? Obviously, you have, you know, as a consultant, you work with people and leaders in organizations, and this unto itself is a change, right? That they have to change this mindset and go from there. Do some people get this faster than others? Is there anything that, you know, gets them prepared for this? They obviously have to go through a process of this and follow through. Maybe if you could take us through the steps and what that entails for people to make this shift. Do some people get it faster than others? If you could just provide me and the listeners with some insight into that, what it takes to shift from that resistance to a readiness mindset.
So it takes some time, and it takes practice and learning, but shifting that belief system and learning how to work with a readiness mindset. But once you do, the ability for that to change a situation and to create new opportunities for change in your organization can happen really fast. I'll give you an example. One change management consultant who had taken our Living and Leading Change certificate course, he shared with me how in one conversation with a line manager using the readiness mindset techniques, went from being yelled at by the manager. You know, the manager was just going, I'm not doing this, no way, to by the end of one conversation, them working together to make the change happen. Now, it doesn't always happen as easily like that in one conversation, but it just demonstrates how much that shift is, because I was so proud of him, because previously he would have been paralyzed, labeled the manager as resistant, and then tried to work around this line manager. But instead, he practiced the pauses that we had and some of the techniques we had worked through. And as he said, I channeled my readiness mindset, recognized it wasn't personal, and it wasn't resistance. And in the space of one conversation, the manager went from yelling at her about how it wasn't going to work and he wasn't going to do it, to asking how he could help, and them planning together.
Well, this is very powerful. And you bring up a really good example there with a consultant that you've coached and consulted with on this, because one of the, you know, areas of our body of knowledge is certified management consultants is change management. Now, not all of us, and I'm speaking from the perspective of a certified management consultant, I am not a change management consultant, but we all deal with this with our clients, I would say probably on a daily basis, if not, you know, definitely within a project, or either as internal consultants or external consultants. So this is definitely a skill set that should be in each of our toolboxes on how to use this, because it would make our engagements with our clients more effective, more efficient, and provide outcomes. Is that a fair comment, that this is what you've got with this readiness mindset? It would add value not only internally with people in organizations who are leaders within organizations, but actually people who consult to organizations as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think that it's a powerful tool, and which is why we share it with so many, you know, we teach it to so many consultants. And, you know, I had another change management consultant who recently took our course and said, you know, he had been working in the field of change management for over 20 years. And this has completely changed his approach and made a dramatic difference for him. You know, sometimes we think about change management as something you do over here, but what the readiness mindset and the approaches and techniques that we share and how we help leaders, it infuses engaging and helping people move through change, not as something you do, but as a way of practice, as a way of framing your consulting practice. And so when we think about consultants and think about almost everything we do is about helping our clients do something different. You know, even if you think about a strat plan, great, you've got the plan, but they have to execute and implement that plan. And that's all about change. So consultants who learn how to use and can adopt a readiness mindset open up a huge amount of possibility for having their clients be more successful.
Yeah, 100%. Now, this is really enlightening for me to, you know, I've read the book, your book, and you know, obviously we've had multiple conversations prior to being on the podcast, but I also see it within our peer networks as consultants, who are people who could be, you know, perhaps certified human resource practitioners or project management institutes, so PMPs, you know, even people who are in the realm of finance, so CPAs or other professions who aren't necessarily consultants that could actually benefit from this as well, because their interactions with their clients, there's change involved in that as well. So even though this is, you know, a podcast for, you know, the consulting community and our clients' clients, you can see how it could certainly benefit other professional designations as well. And those people could well be within our as certified management consultants. But this mindset, just by its very nature as a mindset, could benefit other professions, leaders, new leaders, that type of thing as well. So my question to you, Dawn Marie, is it your program or your teaching on this, is it tailored specifically, or is it, you know, you would go into, you know, working with your clients and then you would understand their industry and how they would apply it? Or maybe take me down the road a little bit of how your system works so that it would eliminate some of the challenges of adopting this for people who are in a variety of different industries.
Yeah. So what we, you know, it applies to any industry. We've worked with so many: healthcare, professional services, financial services, manufacturing. I mean, we've worked with all of those industries, because what's common to all of those industries are human beings. And so anybody that you're working with a human brain can benefit from this as you begin to work with it. So there are a number of different ways you can work with us. One is, you know, we offer through some sponsored organizations, we offer our training in it, our certification in the Living and Leading Change program. But most of our work is we're going in and working with a core group of leaders within the organization who are interested in thriving and using change as a growth strategy, and creating what we call as a change-ready organization. And those engagements mean we're working with them, you know, over a 12-month period to do consultation, community development, developing their change community or their ability to change within their community, coaching, and then some curriculum and training throughout.
Okay, yeah, that's fantastic. That answered my question there. So, you know, it could be, this is ubiquitous, if you will, for people to use this. And, you know, when you see leaders and organizational change, what are some of the challenges that you see when it comes to making these changes? So, you know, I would contend that this would benefit people within their work lives and their personal lives as well. But there may be some challenges when it comes to people, you know, mistakes that leaders are making. What are some of those common mistakes that you're seeing?
So I think there's a couple of things. One is labeling people, as we've been talking about, labeling people as resistant, you know, and misrepresenting what is normal behavior as resistant behavior. I think the other mistake that leaders are making, and it's a direct result of this resistance mindset, is that they're focused on implementing change instead of integrating change. And what I mean by that is any organization can implement anything, but where you get that healthy and sustainable change, where change works for your organization, allows you to grow and prosper because of the changes that you're making, then what you need is to focus on integration, or what I also call adoption. And that means creating the space for those new activities, new behaviors, whatever is associated with the change that you want it to see in your organization, for them to become the normal, to stabilize. So I think the focus on labeling people as resistant leads to the fact that leaders push through and believe they're done when, you know, kind of things are implemented, and they don't create the time and space to restabilize and allow those new activities and behaviors to become normal. And as a result, people are getting overwhelmed and overloaded with change, but within the organization, no real change is occurring.
Right. And because change is so dynamic, this, you know, the program that you have and the your teaching and coaching on this and how you consult your clients, you would go in, you know, of course, now with, you know, this, the great resignation, and, you know, there's obviously in some industries more than others where people are leaving and jobs and coming in and out. Is it something that organizations and leaders should have as ongoing training or ongoing education on this, to develop this mindset when people come on board, almost as part of their employee experience on the onboarding side of it? Or once it's set in place, the culture, does it kind of take on and manifest life of its own? What's the best practice for leaders as they're bringing this in? Obviously, they develop the mindset, it becomes, you know, the bedrock of the organization, or is it something where there's a tune-up along the way that's required as things, either episodic change where there's something new coming in, or so that they just have this mindset continuously? Maybe if you can provide some insight on, you know, some best practices for leaders as they're going down their change journey.
Yeah, I think first of all, leaders need to get comfortable and adopt it and truly live the you know, and practice with a readiness mindset, not just practice when they quote unquote are doing change management, but just practice with that readiness mindset. And then, you know, beginning to help others within the organization to also adopt and practice it. So that, again, requires some training and education and infuse it. But the key is to practice it, to create the vocabulary, to make it a part of your daily operation. We worked a few years ago with this amazing financial services company, and they did some phenomenal work in infusing the readiness mindset and in allowing their organization to use change in very new and different ways so that their employees weren't afraid of it anymore. They were engaging more quickly. And we did that first by working with that executive leadership and worked with them for a period of about 6 to 8 months where they really embedded the practices into their executive leadership style and what they did. And just by doing that, they began to start to see the differences in their other managers and then ultimately their employees, because our employees and the people we work around respond to our energy and the way we interact with them. So just by the leaders changing their behaviors and their practices, their language, doing some of the fundamentals, they started to see a difference right away. One IT director couldn't believe, the difference it made in one of his implementations in terms of the employee's response to change. In this situation, he had same program that needed to be implemented in one department and then implemented in another department. In the first implementation, he did what he would have described as a typical IT implementation. In the second department, we had been working together for about 3 to 6 months at that point. So he had by then adopted the readiness mindset and was using those techniques and approaches. In the first situation where it was the typical approach, he got lots of pushback, what he called resistance to change, high levels of stress, and he was really struggling to get them to use the system, even 4 months after it was implemented. Using the readiness mindset approach, he didn't experience any resistance to the change. And within 2 days, the employees in all four branches were using the system as intended. And as he said, he'd never rolled out a project like that, that within 2 days, people were saying, hey, we got this, we're good, we're okay. So the big takeaway for him was how willing the staff were to change. They wanted to be excited about the changes that their organization were making.
Wow, that's fantastic. And, you know, when you think about, you know, making a business case for, you know, implementing a new software or implementing a new piece of equipment or starting a new division or a strategic business unit, you could see how those traditionally have been invoked. But there is really a strong business case to be made for investing in a change management, or in this case, more importantly, a change readiness mindset, because there's a qualitative and quantitative advantage to this, obviously. So in your example with the rollout of from the IT department, obviously the faster adoption that this has, then obviously the efficiencies of the organization can be embraced through this new IT. Can you share with me, you know, perhaps a few qualitative advantages of a readiness mindset and a few quantitative, without, it's hard to put an exact number on it, so that maybe some of the listeners would be thinking, okay, well, it is very interesting on a change readiness mindset, but what impact is it going to have on my organization? Sometimes people like to think of it as here's 3 or 4 qualitative things and here's 3 or 4 quantitative things that would really help. I'm seeing this more now through our conversation. I was wondering if, based on your experience and your expertise in this area, if you could share some of that with our listeners, because I think that'd be very, very informative.
I'm not, from a quantitative perspective, I'm not sure I can put an actual figure on it. That would be unique to every organization. But if I think about this IT example, you know, and you think about how many IT implementations have you done where you've spent months after the implementation, quote unquote tweaking a system and continually trying to get people to use the system. So imagine not having to do that, like this IT director didn't have to do that. In fact, within about 7 days, this IT director was getting feedback from the employees going, hey, you know what? We think we can do this with the system. Is the system designed to do this? And they were already adding more value to it. So most IT directors could do a calculation in their head that would say, what would that mean quantitatively in terms of time and money from the IT? Qualitatively, that's more easily available. You see higher levels of engagement of your employees. You will see greater effect and in terms of your employees being more willing to engage with change, more willing to help, higher levels of commitment for the results, and overall change becomes something that is an asset instead of a liability. You reduce your overall risk that's associated with change. Now, all of that said, change is still tough. It's still going to be uncomfortable for people. That is the nature of change for all of us as human beings. But what we've done is taken it out of the realm of being something that we're afraid of to something that we know how to use it and channel the energy that comes with it.
Now, that's fantastic. And, you know, based on that as well, and to wrap up here, one last question, and then I'll ask you how people can contact you and be in touch with you to get more of this great information. But if leaders could only take one action to improve their organization's ability to use change, what would that be, Domri?
So if I would say the one action that I would ask, and this is what I teach leaders when we're first introducing the readiness mindset to them, the one thing that I tell them is kind of the easiest thing to do is to eliminate the words resistant to change from the vocabulary. And that sounds somatic, but like semantics, but really our language influences the way we think about things. So stop labeling people as resistant to change or labeling behaviors as evidence of resistance to change. And instead, when you're about to say he, she, they are resistant to change, or this is resistance, instead, modify the language to say he, she, they are not prepared and ready for this change. And then you follow it up with the question, what do I need to do as a leader to help prepare them to take the journey we want them to take? And I think that is one of the simplest and most powerful actions leaders can take right away.
Fabulous. And that, you know, definitely is a journey, and you see the many benefits. And really appreciate your time today, Domri, on this. And thank you for sharing the story and your change readiness mindset with our listeners here today. If anyone wanted to get in touch with you or learn more about the change readiness mindset or obtain a copy of Launch, Lead, Live, perhaps if you can give us some details of how to be in touch with you, your website, that type of thing, that'd be fantastic.
Yep. They can get in touch with me through thinktransition.com. That's our website. Okay. They can order the book through there as well. And also, as a gift to your listeners, if they go to thinktransition.com/podcast, they can receive a free guide to help them get started with adopting a readiness mindset. So this guide will show them how to shift the typical questions that leaders with a resistant mindset ask over into a readiness mindset.
Fantastic. And in the guide there, is there details on how to check a polar bear's teeth?
No. No, there isn't.
We can
edit. It's really simple, though. You just, just like checking a human's, you just lift their jowl And you check. And I actually counted the rings on the teeth, so to calculate the age of the polar bear.
Wow, that's fantastic. Maybe we'll pick that up on a future podcast. But thank you so much for your time, Dawn Marie. This has been great. And look forward to learning more from and with you on change management as we progress onward.
Great. Thank you, James, very much for having me. I've enjoyed it very much.